And you go down there and you get so with some of them ex-prostitutes and ex-jailbirds, I don't think some of them are very damn ex, you know. But this is the thing. But he wouldn't go to Al-Anon. He didn't think there was anything wrong with him, but through osmosis, it got this program, because I always have always had somebody in my home. Everybody there was always welcome at home. And on another 4th of July and every Thanksgiving, that was the annual thing that we would have our open house. So Dick finally learned to like the program. He liked the program. He liked the people. And he would come home from work, though, and I didn't know, Dick could have a drink. My husband could have a drink, and it didn't bother him. He had a very stressful job. But one time he came home from work and he said, "Don't rush dinner right now," because he and the boss had a pretty bad day. And he said, "Don't rush dinner." He said, "I think I'll have a drink." So he goes to the refrigerator and he pulls up the ice tray. He takes two or three ice cubes and puts them in a glass. I'm sitting here, pours a little bit of whiskey in it. And he sits by and goes back in the living room. And it dawned on me, well, hell, I got to add a half a pint of whiskey drink before he got them ice cubes out, you know. But, you see, I had something to compare to. I had something to compare to because the depression was gone. So he would have that drink and then relax, and that's what it was made for. I'm not against the liquor industry. I hate the disease that we have because I see too many of us dying. I see too many of us dying out there. I wish there was something we could do, but there is a difference. But we learn something about us all the time. So I didn't mind Dick, but at first he said, "Well, there's not going to be any, I won't have any whiskey in the house." But I was afraid. He was afraid I was going to drink. But he said, "I'm not going to quit drinking. Me and the boys on Friday night to stop and have a few drinks." So over to French's, it was an industrial bar. So I said, "Fine." But you know, the old mind, I thought, what if he meets some gal over there, you know? So I'd go over there and I'd park and I'd go up and see him. And I wonder I didn't get wrecked, because I mean, it was industrial part of Los Angeles, you know, where that. And so I was telling Florence, I said, "You know, I'm going to catch that son of a bitch. I bet he's in there whoring around." And so she said, "Lou, why don't you let the poor man bring a bottle home?" You know. I said, "Can I?" She said, "Yes." So, see, these things, and I wasn't this new sober then. I was sober quite a little while. All these things, and then one time he didn't do something to make me feel that I was angry with him, and he didn't do what I wanted him to do. And I grabbed my purse and I said, "I just want to be drunk as the way I am now. This is put up with you." And poor old thing, I went out and got in the car and just went to the beach. I wasn't going to drink. I didn't want to drink, but I wanted to teach him a lesson. And so I went to the beach to sit there, and I just loved to hear the beach it turn me on. I stayed about 2 hours and I went home. "Yeah, where the hell have you been? You better go." And geez, so I told him, you know. I said, "I didn't get drunk, blah, blah, blah." So, but I had to tell Florence how smart I had been. So I told her, you know, I really got his attention, because he had called her, and boy, she said, "Lou, if you ever do that again, I will never sponsor you. That's chicken shit." You know. But this program has taught me how to follow instructions, the steps, and I was delighted with the steps when I finally came to, when my foot was cleared, because I had something to go by, I had some direction. I never had any direction before. I would read the directions and then, or I'd buy something and throw the directions away. You know, I could figure this out. Never could, but you see, I know one time when I was drinking and I'd I went down to the secondhand store and bought some little plaques to go and to go up on the wall. And I thought, that looks kind of nice. So then I went to a dime store and bought some little things that you put some glue on it and hang them things on, you know. And I, boy, and I got home and didn't read the directions to put, then put the plates on them, and they dropped and fell. Well, I wasn't happy with that, so I go back to the dime store where I bought these things, and I took these plates that I'd gotten at the secondhand store for maybe a quarter, and I went in and I said, these were heirlooms. And you sold me some stuff that didn't work. So she said, you were just in here, you know, that says to put it up, to leave it in there dry for 30 minutes. So I went out with egg on my face with my heirlooms. That was the story of my life. I didn't follow directions. But I was delighted with these steps. I thought, hell, that's easy. That's a bunch of bullshit. It ain't easy. But it's easier than staying drunk. But it's, I embraced those after, oh, hell, I'm not going to tell you how long it took me. Because some of you young people might say, oh, shit, if it takes that long to get that crazy, I ain't going to go back. But it wasn't months, honey. It wasn't months. And it was a lot of digging, going to a lot of meetings, and getting God into my life, knowing this. And when I first came in here, and I thought, well, God didn't like me, so I was going to leave him alone. You stay on your side of the street, God, and I'll stay on my side of the street. I thought that there was no book of grace. Florence taught me some stories about, she said, do you believe the Bible, Lou? And I went, well, hell, I guess so. There was always a Bible at home. I guess so. I didn't read it. So she told me some stories in the Bible. But, see, I didn't know about a forgiving God, because I thought that I had sinned right down the line. I was a gone Goslin. So she told me some stories about the thieves, you know, because I was a thief, too. With embezzler. Again, if it wasn't nailed down, I'd steal it. If I could find a crowbar, I'd get it thin. If I wanted something, I took it. It was mine. Didn't have to. Hang away with this thing. So then she told me a story about these were God's, they became God's good followers, you know, Christ is. And so I really loved these things, and I began to believe. So I thought, well, maybe he'll forgive me too. But we do these things, and we take these steps. And so when we got to the fourth step, I said, oh, that was a scary son of a gun. That diagram in that book left me cold. It still leaves me a little cold. You know, because Mrs. Brown didn't do anything to me. Tell me how to follow directions. A bunch of bullshit. So there came an old guy, and we get some a lot of characters in there. God, we get a lot of characters. Here, some old guy came from Chicago, and he was going to help some of the new people take the four step by hypnosis. And I thought, man, that's for me. After me, I was hypnotized. But in the hole in the ground, see, there was two rows of seats here. And the people that were going to be hypnotized, see, he hung around there. And see, we have a tradition that, you know, the only requirement for, you know, for membership is the guy to stop drinking. So we couldn't kick some of them people out, and I didn't want him kicked out. But anyhow, he had his little group over here, and the old timers were sitting over here. And I thought, well, I was going to accost him and have him to help me. And I'm sitting there like a big jerk one night in his section, you know. Florence walks in, she said, get your ass over here where you belong, Lou. And I did it. You know. But he didn't last long, you know. But it was exciting when it lasted. But some of those people come in there, being in hell, you know. It takes what it takes. And I know it says to put on paper, you know, put our resentments on paper. Well, I didn't think I had any resentments because I didn't know what a resentment was. And I would say to Florence, she'd say, Lil, I haven't seen any resentments. Put on. So I said, well, I don't have any resentments because everybody had been so good to me, you know. I feel I was a good time kid and everything. And she said, Lou, you sure get your feelings hurt a lot, don't you? And I, yeah. I said, oh, so-and-so did this. And said, that son of a bitch, you know. everybody was so, she said, you hurt your feelings? I said, yes. And she said, well, Lou, she, I think that's a resentment. She said, so you put your hurt feelings down on a piece of paper, and then we'll talk about that. Now, I could put them down there, but I felt like an ass, you know. The time you get it on a piece of paper, it's not very big. It's not very big, but I didn't know what a resentment was. I didn't know. Then we put our sex life on paper and hide it from your husband. I had a big, you know, I put it under my mat, between my mattress and the box spring, and that thing was lumpy, you know. And then that wasn't very important, you know. And then to put our fears, well, and we're loaded with fear. Fear is killed us. I didn't really realize what fear was until I got acquainted with it in here. I was afraid all of my life. That's why I lied. That's why I did the things that I did. I wanted to be accepted. I don't know one alcoholic that I have ever met when they get gut honest have the same damn problem. Please accept me. Please accept me. But I couldn't accept myself. See, in this program, let me accept myself. I like myself now. But it took a long time for me to like myself. And I was saying to one of the girls, Ruth, we was talking to them. I said, you know what? We're beautiful when we come in here, you know? We get so, there's a look in our eyes. There's a look in our eyes. You can see somebody straightening up and liking themselves. It takes a little time. But it that's all you got is time. But I learned to like myself and to take this and to put these things on paper. And we went to the beach to take a fifth step. We went down to the beach and got a rented a cabana. And we sit there and I had it writing like this. So you want to see, I ain't going to read it. I said, you know, she said, you talk, you know. She said, you read it, Lou. We sit there and we had hot dogs and things. It was really a kind of a party-like thing. And she said, when we got all through and it was dark, she said, now go throw that son of a bitch in the ocean and don't go fishing. You don't need it anymore. You don't need it anymore. And this didn't happen. See, I was quite a few years. I was about 5 years sober when I was able to do that. See, and then we have a third step. He said, I've got to take another inventory. I don't know how you have to take another inventory. You got a tenth step. See, this tenth step allows us to be human. It allows me to be human because continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. God, that was a really, you know, Jesus, we can be wrong. I didn't know, because these first nine steps are perfect. If we lived, we were perfect. But then they said we could be wrong. And so this is what we do. This is what I have to do. I still do it. And I'm wrong quite a bit of time. But it doesn't hurt me to admit that I'm wrong. Because I can accept myself. If I start becoming acting unacceptable, my gut is my barometer. When I'm either doing something wrong and my gut starts hurting, or I'm not doing something that I should be doing, or I'm eating too many beans. Now that's so that's simple. That's simple, you know. And My doctor's put me on low cholesterol, eat a lot of beans. I love them. I raise them. But see, all these steps are so important. All these steps are so important. And our 11th step prayer, sought to pray, meditate. I wanted knowledge of His will. The only thing I want from God is, show me what you want me to do, God. I give Him my time in the morning. But if it's something that's very going to be unpleasant, please give me the strength to do it and carry it out. That's all I need to. And I don't have to pester Him all day. I used to. I'd sit there and wait for Him to, for His will for me to send something. I trust Him. I trust Him. And but you know, this sitting on your butt waiting for God to goose you into action is laziness. You know, just lazy. And I know Florence came over to the house one time, and I was sitting there, and she said, "Lou, I'll tell you, I still had a housekeeper because Dick didn't. He didn't trust me too much to. Well, I'd always had, you know. But anyhow, she said, "Lou, I want you to get rid of this housekeeper." And I said, "Why?" And she said, "Well, next time I see you, if she's gone, I want you to have some sore knees." And I said, "What does sore knees have to do with that?" And she said, "Well, I want you to scrub this kitchen floor, and when you're down there on your hands and knees scrubbing the floor, talk to God." And you know what? To this day, if my kitchen floor is squeaky clean, I've been talking to God. You know, but these are things that this sponsor taught me to do. These are things that she taught me to do, and I was happy to do it. I knew that she cared. There was never any doubt in my mind. There was never any doubt in my mind that this woman loved me, and I loved her. And I now at first, so people, they drop by. See, in AA down there, they don't do it so much here. You nearly have to have a damn invitation to stop by and see somebody. Not in my house, but sometime, you know, call before you come and all that. But in the meantime, back there, we just drop in on people. And I didn't want these to be sitting on my butt not doing anything. So I thought, well, I should be doing something domestic. And I wash a tub of clothes. Well, I put them in a tub of clothes then. Well, nobody showed up. So I told them again. I wore a washing machine out. I wore a washing machine out and washing the same damn clothes. Didn't know how to clean up before it. This is how phony I was, you see. I didn't know how to accept myself. This program, these steps taught me how to accept myself. I accept myself. Now, if you come to my house now and you find what you get what you see, you know. I do. I have learned how to be the man. I like it. I like my house kind of neat. But it isn't because you might come by and catch it dirty. I also used to read the dirty papers. I used to call the National Enquirer, and I'd hide them. Now I put the son of a bitch out till I read it to you. I don't have to explain to you why I read the National Enquirer. I also watch one soap opera a day. But I used to tell people, I don't watch them. And I couldn't wait to see who the hell old Eric was screwing. You know? if you call me between 11 and 12, I would be busy. You know. And people said, no, it's okay now. It's okay. I do what I want to do, and that's a good thing. But when we are allowed to do what we want to do, I found this happens with me, that I want to do the right thing. You know, I want to do right. And the longer I've been sober longer than I drank, but I still have one thing. I hate name droppers, but I will do this. I know Chuck Chamberlain was a friend of my sponsors. So when he was dying, Elsa would let a few people come out. They lived at Pacific Palisades, and they had this gorgeous big view out there. And he had emphysema and couldn't go to meetings anymore. Couldn't just sit there. But a few of us would come in and to their home out there, and we were sitting there on the floor. And he couldn't talk very well. He had to have his oxygen. But we were sitting there talking about what's the last pet defect to go. So we came up with this bright solution that the people pleasing, and I think it's so. And if you've ever heard Chuck Chamberlain talk, he'd ask, ha, 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 here comes, and he'd say, that's right. That's right. And so, and this man was a saint as far as I'm concerned. Chuck Chamberlain's done more for Alcoholics Anonymous than anybody. Anybody. Because he was still going out there, he was pounding, speaking, it didn't make any difference whether it was a small group or a big group. And this thing, and this people-pleasing is a thing that I have to watch out for. But if I please myself, this the difference between selfishness. If I please myself, I become a more pleasant person. That doesn't make any sense maybe to you, but it does to me. If I have to be happy within myself. If I'm right with my guts, I'm okay. So, got a long way. Yeah, I do have a long story though, but I'm not going to run over time. But I want to tell everybody here how much I appreciate you. Every one of you. This is the greatest journey that you're ever going to be on. The greatest journey you're ever going to be on. I know I came up here and from Southern California. My sister lived up here for many years. And so I hadn't been in AA maybe about 2 or 3 years. I'd go downtown. Hi, I'd see some. How do you know all these people? Where do you know all these people? I just know them. God love her. She's a. I wish to hell that she would become an alcoholic. I love her. I'm going to tell a little of her story. She's the biggest pain in the ass I ever saw. But she can have a little drambuie from time to time. I can look at her and she's an unhappy woman. She's an unhappy woman, but she's been married 3 times, but she tells everybody how to run their marriage. She just does these things, but we all know this. I would have ended up that way, a lonesome old woman, because nobody would have put up with me much longer. Nobody would have put up with me much longer, so this is why I am a grateful alcoholic. My disease has taught me how to live. I thought I was living because I had big jobs. Man, I'd be driving down there, coming from, I drove a man to a big Buick Roadster, you know, and I'd be driving down there lighting a cigarette, with this long cigarette, and going home from work. And Friday night especially, I'd have an okie, and an okie get a paycheck, and they had to go to a bar. I had to go to a bar. And I could get drunk on anticipation, wonder who was going to be down there. But I'd go home and take my suit off and put them tight breeches on to go to the bar. I'd have to get there and get them breeches on before Dick got home from work and caught me. but it's okay. It's okay. So I don't know. When I walked in here and I hadn't been out at night, and it felt so good to be out at night. I can't see, because I'm night blind, but I'm sure I'm going to get some rides, get some meetings, because some night meetings. There's just a difference about coming to these night meetings to any people. And I haven't isolated. There's somebody from AA in my house or on that phone a lot of the times. I am certain, but it's not like coming to a meeting and sharing.
It's a group of people who share and experience strength and hope with each other. And Ed, you big son of a bitch, you better hang around this time. Mm-hmm. We had a lot of fun down there, though, didn't we?
Yeah.
We had a lot of fun. So I'm going to turn the meeting back over. And thank you, people, for having me.